He wasn't just describing the past. So as a way to lead into that, I want to ask a question, and you could fill in the blanks here. Okay, so you've probably heard must lists. A must list, right? A must list of, I wrote a few down, tools for the home. Must list, tools for the home.
Hammer.
Dishwasher. Well, that's coming up next. Hammer, I'm talking about screwdriver, that kind of stuff. Pliers. Saws. Wrench. Stuff like that. I'd agree with that. Those are must tools, right? On the must list. Now, we don't all agree on the list of tools, but we do agree that there is a must list. Everybody should have stuff. How about this one? Must list of children's books. Start over here. Love you forever. How about this side?
Good night, Moon.
Good night, Moon. What? Okay. Now, see, we do agree that there should be a list of books for a child in a home, right? Well, but we don't all agree on what those books are. How about this one? List of kitchen gadgets, Linda. Dishwasher. Okay, this side. A what? A stove. Yes. A refrigerator. Microwave. Do you guys have any opinions over here? This is your opinion. A formative furniture? It's a gadget? What kind of gadget? Okay, well, when I go to the Wileys, I'll be hamburgers? A can opener. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, so some people don't agree on what's in that list, but we agree that there should be a list of kitchen gadgets. There should be some kitchen gadgets. There should be children's books, and there should be tools, right? So we all agree on that. Now, he painted a pretty sort of dark picture of the earth. Now, must list of religions or rescue plans. Must list of what? Saviors. A must and we have those. We have those in the world. Look it up. There are religions. There are saviors of all sizes and shapes for every need. Must list of plans, philosophies to fix this mess. There is a list. And like all the other lists that went ahead, we don't agree on the list. This morning, I'm going to share the biblical view of the rescue plan that the God that we worship and recognize here, Christians who are along the historical, traditional, conservative end would agree with this plan that I'll describe to you, that God looked at this mess and still does, because those things he mentioned still exist and they still happen. Why do you think it's so hard to get a wife in China? Gabe has a friend, Yipeng, and it's really hard for him to find a wife. Because over the past 30, 40 years, they've had a one-child policy, and the child they like is the gender called male, not female. And now what was once despised is now treasured, and guys are fighting for this woman. And women are taking their pick. It's really interesting. Talk to if you know some Chinese people. This whole thing is called revenge theory, and now the women, they're having their day. But anyway, it's still happening. Everything you described is still happening. So what did God say? I got to fix this. Okay. Stage one. And Jim is going to talk about stage two. And I'm going to try not to go into his turf. Stage two will be the New Testament for the world. I'm going to kind of try to stay with Israel, local. This is stage one of the rescue plan. Number one, I'm going to read the verse. You probably all know this. He picked a guy. And he said, of all the people on the earth, he said, I'm going to pick this man here, and through him, I'm going to create a nation, a whole new ethnicity, and I'm going to use these people to show myself to the world. And here's what he did. He made a promise to one man. And you know this, Genesis 12:3. I'll read it. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he took off, headed kind of northwest. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. So it's still just me and you, I and you. Now here's the part that if I were this man, Abram, I'd say, oh, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All the peoples on earth. This is an interesting promise to make, and Abram didn't quite see it happen in his lifetime, but it was still a promise that God made to him. So that's the first thing God did. The second thing God did on his plan, through this line of Abram, and this was about the year 3000, give or take, okay? So 1,500 years later, it took 1,500 years. What kind of plan is that? Is this kind of working out like your plan would look? Or would your plan look a little different? Mine would have spaceships and angels with swords just killing all the bad guys, and a few good guys would live. But 1,500 years after God made this promise, he reveals himself to another man. And in this plan, part of the plan, he gave him a code of standards, behavior, government, and religion. And all the things that Craig talked about in this plan, in this book, what the Jewish people call the Torah, the law, which are the first five books and others, he decided to address economics, rules governing slaves, wages, landowners, poverty, other gods, other religions, other philosophies. What do I want you to do with these other philosophies, these other religions that are surrounding you? How are you to think of children? I'm going to give you a code of conduct and behavior on children. I'm going to give you a code of conduct on marriage and your sexual relations. How to treat slaves, how to deal with diseases, how to approach me. Here's who I am, and this is what I'm like, and this is what I want you to act and look like, because I have a plan that you are going to take to others, and I want them to see how I am through you. So he's going to use these people through this law. Now, there were about 1.5 million people at the time that this law was given to them. They were surrounded by despots, tyrants, warlords, tribal chieftains, crazy people. So how do we keep these people intact as just to survive in a desert and get started off? Well, that was the plan. He's going to move them away into their own section of the world and start a civilization where they would prepare, lay the groundworks for somebody who is going to really save them. I mean, right now, it's close. As I would describe this relationship with the God who's rescuing them, it's close, but don't get too close. And the concept at the time was, you're playing games with gods and you've created them, but I'm not like you. I am holy. I love you, and I want you to love me, but remember who I am. I'm holy, and I'm not like you, and you're not like me. So this God created a sense of awe and wonder, as we just sang, and gave these people a new idea of who this God was. One, he's remote, he's distant, but yet he's here. So he created a religion for these people to talk to him and to meet with him, to get close, but not too close. And he set up ways to ensure that would happen. And there were severe penalties if you transgress that. Now, the third part of the plan, so that was about 1,500 years after he talked to Abraham, his plan, then with Moses, and then about another 500 years started before this thing devolved into something that it wasn't supposed to. You know, the two guys who were in charge of starting this new relationship on Earth, they were not very, they were actually quite pessimistic about how it was going to work out. I'll read to you, let's see. This was after he was given this plan, Moses was given the plan, and he's about to move on and give it to another person, Joshua. So the leader of the first plan, you are going to rest with your fathers. This is what this God is telling this man. And these people will soon prostitute themselves to foreign gods of the land they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. I will be angry with them and forsake them. So it's not a, you know, this plan looks like it's got some fits and starts before it really takes off. Joshua, who was picking up the pieces after Moses, he said this. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." So it looks kind of pessimistic because as it devolved from a theocracy, then these people wanted a king, then prophets started talking to them, they realized that there's something wrong with the plan. nothing wrong from God's point of view, but from man's point of view, that it seemed like God was reaching out, but man did not seem to have the capacity to figure out his part of the deal, this covenant that God made with them. There was a weakness built into it. Finally, a prophet later on, they started talking about this weakness in the heart of mankind to make this covenant work on this rescue plan. There seems to be a weakness in the rescue plan, and it's on our end. This prophet named Jeremiah said, a new covenant this is God is going to make, and you know this, don't you? Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So that's what we're waiting for, the second part of the plan. Well, this takes us to about the year 500. So it started out 3,000 with the promise to Abraham, 1,500 years to Moses with a code of conduct and the rules, which seemed to have an inborn weakness in the sense that we couldn't perform it. And then the prophets came. There was a civil war in the land, and there was exile, and there was a lot of bickering. And finally, brings us to the prophets who spoke, and then the year 500, another 1,000 years goes by, and now silence. Silence has come over the land, and there just doesn't seem to be anything going on. So God came, he established this contact, he gave the people what they needed, it's all there, it's all true, but we seem to not be able to correspond to his desires on this deal, contract, covenant that he made with mankind. So 500 years now, we're waiting, and there's silence. And we're waiting for the second part of the plan. But first, before Jim tells us, we have a song.